Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, turtles and pizza lovers alike. My name is Jared, and with me is the pizza man himself, Ian.
Pizza, pizza, that's me.
I don't know if we can get in trouble for that one or not. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us here at our table. Today, we're at the featured table, where we will be looking at Unmatched Adventures, the cooperative line in the Unmatched series. And I will go ahead and warn you, there is a slew of designers and artists to credit, so please bear with me. This game is designed by Noah Cohen, Rob Davio, Jason Hager, Justin D. Jacobson, Justin Kempainen, I apologize, and Brian Neff, and Darren Reckner. And of course, with a game such as this, with so many different options, we have lots of artists as well to credit. Oliver Barnett,
it's going to get butchered.
Mihalo, that's it. Dmitrievsky. Mihalo Dmitrievsky. I'm so sorry if that's wrong, but if it's right, it's pretty cool that you have a very unique name. I love it. Kevin Eastman. Kevin, thank you for a very basic name following that up. Quanchai Moraya, Yuta Onoda, Brian Patterson, and Heather Vaughn. And published, of course, by Restoration Games.
That's right. Unmatched.
Oh!
Unbelievable. Unshakable.
Definitely.
It's turtle time, folks. Players will take on the role of the famous turtles in an attempt to stop the evil schemes of Shredder and Krang. But watch out. Their minions are out there ready to wreak havoc too. So you got to keep an eye out for those crazy minions. Players will play a cooperative game to defeat the villain in an attempt to stop his evil plans. And you have to defeat the villains before he completes his master plan.
Yes.
As a wise man once said, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for a late pizza.
Yes.
Let's discuss Unmatched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Did a man say that?
I don't know. Yes, but then a turtle said it. So I don't. Yep.
I think you gotta credit the turtle. I think it's kind of specious of you to give credit to the man when the turtle said it. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a quote. I don't know. It's a quote of a quote. So, like, which do I quote? I don't know.
I don't know. That's beyond me.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway.
I am curious, though, Ian. There are many forms of media in which the turtles exist. And I am just wondering, how and which media outlet were you introduced to the famous turtles?
I had to look this up before we got started. So
nice. Because we didn't discuss this question. So that's great that you looked it up ahead of time.
Right. No, exactly. The first time I was introduced to them was in the show, I think around 2000, I think 2003.
Okay.
And onward, so that series of TV is what I knew most. I was looking back and seeing, because I know there's a lot of comics in the 80s and 90s, but really what I'm familiar with is the show that was out in the 2000s. And so that was really like the best, most exposure that I had. I did have later on, it was in the 2000s when I had it, because I got a Sega Genesis like whenever I was a kid. That was well after it came out, but I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game on there. But that was around the same time, so I think I kind of got it all exposed around that same time. And it had the most sick intro ever because it had like this very 2000s music behind it. Like all the shows back then had it. I love it. I went back and listened to it before we got started too, and it's just so good. Like, it's so classic, like 2000s-esque. It's this very like rock, punk rock type of vibe, and I don't know. It makes me giggle a little bit because I do love it. So
that's awesome.
But anyway, what about you?
Well, so I was thinking about it, and at first I thought that the arcade TMNT game was my first introduction, but I actually think it was the Sega Genesis, the 1992 classic TMNT, The Hyperstone Heist.
Nice.
I mean, I didn't play it in 92, but I think I was playing it by 94. So that was my first introduction to the Turtles. And I watched some of the cartoon, but I don't know, like that wasn't my main focus for whatever reason. I can't remember that far back as a child. But I remember it really loving the team concept and the games, and like I had Turtles in all kinds of different outlets. But yeah, that was my first intro for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I think, yeah, it was definitely later on. Like, it wasn't one of the first shows or anything that I was watching, but it was airing on TV. And so I think that's when I kind of roped into it a little bit. And it was only for a couple of years. I don't consider myself like a diehard fan. I was exposed for a couple of years, and I kind of went to other things, I guess. So I don't have, I'm not, I wouldn't consider myself a super fan or anything.
Sure. No, I think I fall in a similar boat where there was lots of different times that TMNT would pop up and I would enjoy the content, but I never dove deep into the lore or anything like that. Like it wasn't something that I stood behind like I do Power Rangers and some other things.
Right, exactly.
So, anyways, do you have a favorite turtle or a lineup? We'll just say just the four turtles. Like what's your ranking? Because you and I have found that some of our friends are very misguided in the proper turtle ranking.
I like Leonardo. I think he's my favorite for sure, mainly as the leader, but the dual katanas
Of
are
course,
great.
like it's perfect.
Yeah. I would say I don't like, again, I don't know if I have it. It's so hard for me at that point. I actually do like Raphael, the red. He's not, I think I might put him second, just mainly because of the weapons that he uses. I thought were always cool. I don't know. I don't really after that, like they're all similar to me because I'm not, but I think Leonardo is definitely my favorite. But
That's totally fair. Totally
yeah, I
fair.
don't know if I like, I'm gonna, I could rank them right now, but I don't even know if I
If you could
believe in
stand
that
by it.
ranking.
I'm so glad we found a ranking list that you just don't want to stand beside, so that you can
Yeah,
understand my pain most of the time.
that's right. But
Ironically,
I would not put Leonardo at the bottom. Let's just be very clear there.
yes, like some very foolish people in our lives that we will not name because they deserve
Right.
no attention for this blasphemous opinion.
Yes.
But my very opinionated brain on this stems from like pre-10-year-old me. So very well thought out and educated.
Right.
Leo is also my favorite. Loved that he was the leader. I was a real sucker for the leader character
Yeah.
growing up. Like Red Ranger was also my favorite when I first got into Power Rangers because of the fact that he was the leader, and that was just super cool. So then I would say my second is Donatello. Loved all the tech stuff. I thought that was super cool.
Yeah.
Mikey is cool for the comic relief and for the kind of chaos that he brings to the group. And I put Raph last, not because he's not cool. I get it. I understand the love. But pre-10-year-old me, maybe even post-10-year-old me, I'm not like the biggest fan of the lone wolf character or the
Yeah.
character that just consistently like doesn't get along and work with the team. Now there's exceptions to that. Like I love a good redemption arc, don't get me wrong. I won't spoil anything for people who haven't seen shows that have been around for 30 years. But anyways, I will say like that, so that's why I put Raph last, but not in a like I don't like this character.
Yeah.
But if you told me like which turtle order to pick, that's the route I'm gonna go.
Yeah. That's
So
funny. I mean, I think, yeah, I like the leader and then I like the rebel. So like I mean, but I like them all. So it is funny how
that's fun. Cool. All right, well let's talk about the game, man.
Yeah.
We'll kind of give an overview of how to play here, and then we'll just jump right into it.
Sounds good.
So In a lot of ways, Unmatched Adventures follows the traditional Unmatched competitive game in where you have a main character. I don't know. Are they called heroes in the regular Unmatched version as well?
Yeah, I think they're all called. Yeah, they're all considered heroes, I think, for the sake of that. Yeah.
For that terminology. Yeah, so you have a hero and a sidekick, and you have a deck that is specific to that character and sidekick. And there's various spaces on a board that you're going to be moving around in a competitive game. It's just a straight battler where you're fighting it out with other players, trying to be the one that is still on the board at the end of the game as you deal damage to each other through card play. Super fun, super simple. It's a new take on the Star Wars Epic Duels game, which was a very popular, I want to say late 90s, I guess, and early 2000s. Yeah. And kind of streamlined that system a little bit, but still kept it to where it's simplified. You can just jump right in and start punching each other.
2002, actually, by the way.
Well, yeah,
a little later then.
Very close, but yeah, it was a fun game.
It was.
So in your deck, that's where most of your action is going to take place. On your turn, you're going to choose whether to play a card or to move. If you move, you have the option of moving up to your character's speed, and you do that for both your hero and for your sidekick, and they have the same movement. And then if you decide to play a card, if it's on your turn, it's usually an attack, or it might be something that affects the board state as well. So there's a couple different things that you can do there, whether it's to impact your team or affect the opponent's team, or in this case, where we're playing cooperatively, where you're facing off against a villain. And so you would affect either the villain or one of its minions or both. On defense, or I'm sorry, so when you attack the villain or one of its minions, each character on the opposing team, or in this case, just the board, has a deck. So, for example, Shredder has his own deck, and then like Bebop and Rocksteady are one character, and they have their own deck, so on and so forth. And so you'll declare your attack, you'll flip over one of their cards, and it will have an attack and a defense value. And so you compare your attack value to its defense value, and by that you get to determine if you deal it any damage. And of course they have their own health dials and things like that, just like you do, and so does your sidekick. Once that health dial reaches zero, that particular character is out of the game, and you continue going until you have defeated all of the characters before the scenario completes itself. So in a PvP game, you're just fighting to the death. In a cooperative game, there is a environment aspect that's happening in the background while you're fighting these characters. And so with Shredder, he's trying to deploy all of his foot soldiers all over the various neighborhoods of New York. And then Krang is trying to pull us into Dimension X. And so we are trying to stop those things from happening. So then it's kind of the flip on their turn, and we'll go over turn order here in just a second, but on their turn, they will be guided to the closest character, and then they will attack. Then they flip over one of their cards, resolve the attack ability, as well as the attack damage. If you wanted to, you could play a card as defense before the card is revealed, so you don't know how much damage is going to be dealt before you play that card, so it is kind of a little bit of a risk as you make that decision. In addition to the basics of attacking and defending, several of the cards have what's called abilities on the card, whether it happens immediately when it's played, during a combat, or after a combat. And so you resolve that. I believe, Ian, it's based on the attacker first. They resolve, and then the defender does, or is it always the player first?
No, the defender will resolve first.
That's right. Yeah. I got that flipped. Okay. So the defender resolves theirs, then the attacker, and then that combat is over. Very quick, very streamlined. Then, in addition to that, the way that turn order works is you don't just go around the table taking turns and then the villain takes turns. Instead, you have an initiative deck.
Mm-hmm.
And in the initiative deck is the villain, each of the players, and then the environment where the actual bad things are happening, any minions that are going to be in play. And there's an optional add where you can add in either allies and or henchmen. And so when that's an advanced thing, it's not a whole lot. We can kind of go over that really quickly. The way allies work, you'll flip over one ally at a time per round. there are certain spots on the board that you would have to get to basically unlock that ally, and then they would be added to the initiative deck. If you can't get to that ally before the round is over, then instead of getting an ally, they add new henchmen to the deck instead, and they do bad things. And so it's not like major, but it does. I liked the added complexity that it gave.
Yeah.
Because it gives you more to think about than just go punch and punch again.
Yeah. Anyways, you have to go rescue. You got to rescue the...
Yeah, that's right. We got to build the team. So I really like that aspect. But anyways, we're not to that yet. So finally, like, you're just going back and forth until either whatever the scenario is comes to completion and you lose because you're all failures. If a turtle and sidekick die, then I believe the game is over. Or if you're able to defeat the villain before the scheme is completed, you also win. Then at that point, you win the game. So that is more or less how to play. I know there's some fine details in there that we didn't go over, but I think that gives you a good picture. So with that, Ian and I will give our thoughts on Unmatched Adventures TMNT.
Yeah, I think you have, everybody has their own unique deck in this game, which I think is fantastic. And it gives a lot of replayability because you can just play the decks and you can play the same deck and really figure out details of it. But then you also get to play all the different decks, and there's four heroes in this. The game, the game does end technically when everybody dies, including their sidekicks. Mm-hmm. But like we've said this before in some cooperative games similar, is like when one player is like completely eliminated,
that's
we
true.
Like to say, yeah. Okay, somebody died basically. So, but I don't know if this
Let's
is like,
on.
I think for the unmatched purposes, I do think they call it being like exhausted, or I forget the exact terminology they may use. I don't know if they, but so that is part of it too. It kind of depends on how you want to play it. In the rule book, it does say like once everybody's characters are basically all eliminated,
mm-hmm.
that would be, usually the scheme is going to be the thing that ends it, or you defeating the actual villain. So.
I agree. Yep.
But yeah, and I do like that, is that if like, let's say my main turtle got knocked down, I still have my sidekick, and I can still play cards from that and still continue on. Like, I'm not fully, removed from the game, because I don't tend to like player elimination games to any extent, which, if we talk about the PvP at the end of this, we'll get to. But overall, with the, the cooperative version, the ability to stay around even if a player's, lost his main character or even the sidekick, I think that's a good feature. So anyway, that's how the little subtle details there of the cooperative version play. Where in a PvP, it's you just knock everybody out.
That's right. Well, and I will say too, because you mentioned the decks, I think it's cool that the same deck that you'd use in the cooperative game, you're also using the competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it really easy to work through it, and you're like, what to expect from specific players. And I think that's really a really nice feature, because if you do take this and, and let's say you play this game enough and you get through it and you have a bunch of other unmatched things, you can use those unmatched characters and play against the villains in this. And I think that's cool, because in Unmatched, the whole thing, if you're not familiar with Unmatched, there are about 50 different boxes at this point of PvP. There's only two boxes that I'm aware of for the cooperative versions, but this is really the main one that has a really strong theme and IP behind it. The other one did not. And so this one has a very large IP on it. And with that, you get these decks that are pre-built. You just pick a character and you run it, especially in cooperative. You use your deck and you play through it. Every deck, every character has its own way of playing, the way the skills and traits that it does, the ally or sidekick that it has. Everybody has a different sidekick. And I think Unmatched has done such a fantastic job of creating this ability to, have different characters along the way. And when you create this large base of characters, now when I walk into a game, I go, okay, who do I want to play? Who do I want to play? And you pick one and you just roll with it. And in this box, you have four heroes, which is a lot for most of their boxes. Usually they don't have that many. Some of them are like one. They have like a There are ones that are just one-offs and two-player, you know, games. And all of those can be played, you know, most of them can be played at least by, you know, at least two-player, because it has at least two characters in there to fight each other. But in this scenario, you've got four, and then you also get villains to play against on this cooperative mode. So, again, Unmatched series has done so much to basically just pick a character, put it on the board, shuffle your deck, and go. There's a little bit more setup in a game like this because you have a villain to deal with. But overall, that's but like everything that they live and breathe as far as the Unmatched series. And this kind of takes it a little bit of an extra step and allows you to play against, you know, a bot as the villain, which I think is really cool. So what are your thoughts on as far as Unmatched? This is your first experience. I own other Unmatched. So,
yeah, this is my first step into the Unmatched world. I had played Epic Duels back in the day, but I just never got around to the Unmatched series. You know, I like the concept of the game, but before TMNT, there wasn't like a bunch of characters that I was just like, oh, this would be really cool to experience fighting each other on. So I just hadn't gotten to it because it didn't pull me in. But when we saw that they were doing TMNT, I was like, okay, now I'm curious, kind of thing. Especially because it was co-op. Like, I think if they had come out and they were just like, all right, the turtles are going to fight each other or something like that, I don't know that I would have been that interested.
Right.
Exactly. A PvP. So it was really cool to kind of get that. And I love a good co-op, you know, especially when it's got a good IP behind it. So that was kind of my draw in. And then as we started playing, it was very interesting because this is my first, as I said, my first foray into it. And I don't know, there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's a learning curve because it is very easy to just pick up a deck and start playing and you can kind of figure it out as you go. I think getting into this game, it does exactly as it's supposed to do. It's this entry level, either co-op or PvP, where you can just start playing. And I love that. But at the same time, each turtle plays very differently. And that is definitely a pro. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love that. But much like what Ann and I talked about last week with React, you have to kind of change the way you think about how you play with each character in a much lighter way than React. I don't want to like compare the two, but that concept is still there of Raph is a lone wolf. And so if you don't like playing a lone wolf, you're not going to have much fun doing this.
Or, right. Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, but, you know, I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit here. The decks themselves, I really enjoy that there's just the right amount of cards where you get to do a lot of cool things, but you're still hoping for that thing that you want to do, and you're not quite sure if you're going to get it. And I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, like you'd want to be able to do the thing every time. But I think that opens up for different strategies and different ways of thinking within the deck itself. So I like that. I also like the decks of the various minions and villains because there's just enough variability. I love that a lot of the minions don't feel similar, even though I feel like the minions take two different tracks of either affecting the board state or just punching you really hard. But even within those two tracks, they have their own unique take on how they play. And I really enjoyed that.
For sure. I think the deck is 30 cards based on what my understanding is for a hero. And so I think that's, like you said, that's like a really good number as far as like what they do really well here is they balance, you know, this game length because basically like, you know, you're going to play multiple cards in a turn more than likely. And then there's also combos that you're triggering. So like you might get more plays. And so it's like, how many turns do I want a game to be? And so you do that based off the deck, you know, length and how many cards are in there. And so they've done a really good job there with that 30 cards. I think it makes it for a really solid game as far as turns, but also like you get so much uniqueness in the types of cards that each character has. And I think what it really feels like, you know, everybody has like two of like really, really powerful cards and then a couple of like also really, really strong cards. And then the rest of the deck is kind of like built around those or way to combo those really well. Or, you know, if maybe some characters just attack really well. So they have really good just straight attacks all through the deck. And so I think with that 30 cards, it just gives you enough there to really build out a solid character for everybody, and they kind of feel, you know, they feel unique. They feel like they're trying to do something within that specific deck, and I think that's really cool. Like you mentioned, is it gives everybody this unique feel, and like you said, like the way you have to learn your character. Yeah, I can just pull out a deck and just roll with it and just wing it, and you know the combos can naturally happen at times. Allowing multiple plays, though, will give you opportunities to learn how a deck synergizes within itself and allows you to create these sick combos that you wouldn't be able to on a first play. And so I think that's really cool, too, is that you're able to adapt to what you're seeing and playing with, because every card, you know, card games, you might draw some cards that you're, you know, didn't want or that you did. And so you're also playing off that, which is really cool. But allowing you to learn a deck and playing this multiple times, even if it's not cooperative or PvP, there's tons of replayability here, because you are, you know, learning individual characters is important.
Yeah. I would agree. And I think too, it's really cool how not only do the decks play differently, but the decks aren't the end of it. The thought in my head is the decks don't play themselves. Because there's a lot of decision making in when do I decide to move and therefore get to draw versus playing my cards. Because if I just play my cards, I'm going to lose a hand. My hand's going to be empty within a couple of turns.
Yes.
And then you're cooked, because you still got to play defense.
Yep. Yep.
So I think it's very fascinating to decide, when do I do this? When do I do that? Do I do one and one? Do I load up one turn so I can hit really hard the next time? And trying to figure out, based on the board state and what's going on, how to balance those things out. And then, like I mentioned in the how to play, having allies and potential henchmen makes an even more of a decision, because it's like, okay, well, I really wanted to hit the villain twice, but, you know, this ally is across the board. And if I don't get somebody over there to take care of it, then we are going to have more bad stuff coming into the initiative deck. And that, so there's a couple different wrinkles there for a game that is so simple that I really enjoy. And I am glad that I tried Unmatched as a cooperative game first, because I think it adds a little bit more that kind of pulls me in than the competitive game would.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of get to that later, but.
Sure. Yeah. And I think, let's dive into the cooperative part of this and how challenging it is, you know, as far as a cooperative game, because everybody, we all love cooperative games, but like, are they actually challenging? Is it actually like, sure. Do we actually have to fight for the W? And I would say in this game for me, I think maybe it's interesting, because at four player, I felt like we handled the villain pretty well. Where a two player and three player, like it was a little bit harder for me in the games I played. Even in the most basic way, we didn't even add those special allies and henchmen yet. So I think overall, I think it's challenging. And I felt like we did have to think through some things for sure to be successful. How do you feel about it?
I think in some ways, it reminds me of early board gaming days discussions with Pandemic, where some people would say Pandemic's impossible. Other people would say it's super easy and I've never lost before. And I think part of what happens and what we notice over multiple plays is there's a good amount of variability in which cards flip when, because there's certain cards in the villain decks that are devastating.
Yeah.
They will just absolutely wreck your whole turn, even when you're on offense. And that changes the course of the game when you get hit with that a few times. But if you time it right to where you don't see those very often, and like in Krang, in the case of Krang's scenario, you're also rolling a die.
Yeah.
And we had one game where like we almost never had anything bad happen on the die roll.
We had the one guy roll and he was so good at rolling. He was
and it just we just coasted because there was nothing affecting us in a negative way. So I think there's some variability on the difficulty, not just in the player count, but also in what cards flip when.
And absolutely.
I think that changes it for sure.
And in the villains, you know, I think their decks range from like 7 to 10 cards, depending on what's going on. And, you know, you just never know what you're going to flip. And in every one of their decks is a 0/0. Basically, it does nothing other than reshuffle the deck. And so you are trying to time it up with hitting those, but it also depends on when you pull it. You know, am I pulling it when I was had a pretty weak attack, or am I pulling it when I had a really strong attack, or is it pulling
or
it when
you
I
play
have
a
no
five
defense?
Defense and yeah. it does nothing.
Yeah,
like
exactly. So there's timing. There's stuff yeah. going on there that is it is pretty random in the way those pulls happen.
But you are allowed to look through the discard pile so you can kind of time it, yeah. like you were saying. Like it's not yeah. just random.
Exactly. So yeah, you're like, you know, there's three cards left. It's a 1 in 3 chance that I'm pulling this card. And so you'll do that sometimes. And I think those are ways to, you know, keep an eye out for different things. If you know, like we played this game multiple times and we kind of knew what each villain was trying to do and what cards were in there. We're like, okay, well, he has a cancel, you know, coming up, or he has this reset. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were things like that we were looking for. But I do think you make a good point here. And I think that it's actually to the benefit here of the system as a whole, because one, this game, let's just be very clear here. This game is super light. Like this is not, yeah. you know, this is like very much laid back fun, even in the cooperative setting. And so with that, you know, you have this villain that is kind of, has variability in its difficulty. When you add the minions, one of the minions, as an example, this kind of makes this whole point for me is that there's I think his name is Slash, one of the minions, and
good old
Slash one, as the game goes on, which I think is also applies to all of these people, all of the villains and the minions as well. As the game goes on, his deck gets stronger and stronger. He starts adding these Slash cards to his deck. And basically if you hang around long enough in this game, potentially he could swing for like what, 10, something
it was
crazy.
It was an insane amount.
Yes.
So he could swing
for 10 on one pull. Now everything has to be stacked correctly. He has to have all the flash cards.
Totally
hasn't
happen.
Shuffled. Like all of the things have to be present for this to happen, but he could pull it and deal 10. And no matter what your defense is, I mean, it's possible. Also, there's ways for that card to get your defense to get canceled on top of all this. So you could just take 10 undefended, like straight up. And so there's just so much going on there. And that's an example of what kind of happens throughout the entire decks, all of them, is that one, I think characters get a little bit, villain can kind of get stronger as the game goes on. But also these minions, they could just swing at 10 at any point and you could or could not be prepared for it. So I think that variability is good.
And just to give context, your health starts at like, I think Leo and Raph start around 17. Donnie and Mikey are closer to like 13.
Yeah, they're 14. I think 14.
Yeah, something like that. And then your sidekicks are all in the like 7 to 8 range.
Yeah, like 6, I think, for April, I think.
She's never supposed to get into the action the way she plays.
So 10 would kill her. One hit, a wonder for her. And then,
yeah.
I mean, that's like 70, 80% of everybody else's health. So... Whew. Yeah, it's a big swing, mm-hmm. and you could easily get knocked out. So
I think it's a good point, and I it does add a lot to the game, for sure. What did you think about so I know you've got some experience with Unmatched, and correct me if you already talked about this while my kids were distracting me, but what did you think about how it plays cooperatively versus when you're playing competitively? Because I have opinions, having not played competitively, how I would feel about PvP. But I'm curious as someone who has experienced both.
Sure. Yeah, I think the PvP is a very much, it's a much faster game. And it clips a lot faster. The decisions, I think, are a little bit easier, in my opinion. It's very, even if you're playing 4-player, you have the ability to kind of make a quick decision. On those boxes, they say 20 to 30 minutes, where this says like 30 to 60. Which is not correct, by the way. We'll get to that. But in a PvP game, like it is very much like 30 minutes. You know, I've played a game in 15 because, you know, you only have one thing to do is attack the other person, or you can kind of flee and, build up your cards and stock.
Yeah.
So even in that, in a team game, if you're playing with 4 players, you play 2v2. You're given this opportunity to kind of work with your teammate, but you're still trying, even if there is a combo you're trying to get, like you're still moving towards one target or two. And it's, I think the decisions are much easier to read. As if you're like looking at the board, what am I doing with my turn? You know, okay, this guy's by himself. I'm going to go get him. I have a good attack card. I'm going to move, draw a card, and then my second action. You only get two actions, so you attack him. And so it's just, I think it moves a lot faster. And so with that PvP, though, you know, you do get player elimination if you're playing a game like that. And so you can have player elimination. If it's like a two-player game, it's obviously whoever eliminates the other player first. So you just got to keep that in mind. Again, the game is meant to be played quickly, and it is not meant to go a long time. So you have to keep it a very short game. And so any player elimination should be, I mean, eradicated, the fact that that's part of the game because you're playing so quickly.
So with that, let's go ahead and transition into some of the things that are concerns or things we didn't care for as much. And I think if you want to start with the time aspect, I can jump on that as well if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think playing PvP, playing this cooperative version,
yeah,
it adds an excessive amount of time to a game. We played two-player. I think our first game took, what, an hour-ish?
Yeah, I would say at two-player, even learning the rules, like we picked it up and played pretty quickly. Yeah.
I had a three-player game that we actually shorted ourselves a minion, so that was, and we still had issues. That game took like 2+ hours.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it was wild to me. It was that we talked about the card draw and making it really hard to do something. We were playing one thing weirdly. It wasn't that big of a deal, but I don't even know if it would have changed anything. So there's stuff like that. But overall, the card draws that we were doing, like basically the villain and the minions were just moving so far away. Like, so we would attack them and then they would move all the way across the board. And so, like, that's just time. We ended up winning that game, but it just added.
As you should after 2.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So it just added a lot of time. We played a 4-player game and that took 2+ hours as well. So it's just a lot of time. Where if you play like a 4-player game, like of PvP, you're looking at like 30 to 60 minutes. And so it adds a lot of time. And for a cooperative game, you know, I think a 2+ hours is a lot for what you're doing in this game. With that, you know, I still had fun the entire time I'm playing, but I'm like, I'm sitting there, you know, everybody's kind of taking their turns. And so there's a lot, you're not playing. I felt like it's so weird because I think that's it is an issue as far as length, but like in the end, it felt like my turns came around pretty quickly. You know, the game was clipping at a, you know, it felt like everything was moving. It wasn't like I was just sitting there feeling like I was waiting. Regardless, it was still a long time for what happens in this game and how many turns you end up actually getting. It is a lot.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, I wondered for so long, like, is it just our group? Is it just something where we play slower? But even like we had multiple games where we were timing ourselves and we were pushing, like, okay, guys, let's keep clipping. Let's see. I want to hit a 4-player game where we hit that hour mark. And we couldn't do it.
We were nowhere close to it.
No. So, I don't know. It's tough. But I think the thing that you said that I would drive home is, for what it is, it shouldn't take 2 hours. It's just, it's so casual.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, that's a strength. That's a strength of the game. But that, because of that, it needs to be over in an hour. Like, it says it is. And we just didn't experience that. So, I will say, Ian, when you play solo, which I tried out, with what we all agree would probably be the worst character to play solo, which was Leo, because he wants other characters around him helping him out. I got through it in 24 minutes or something like that. So
there you go.
It is, I mean, it is doable. I do think that the collaborative element adds a lot to it, because even in PvP, you're just playing your own game.
You are discussing what's going on. You know, you're not going, you know, around the table. Like, okay, you go and then you go. You have to flip the card and then the villain goes and the minions go in between. So, like, it's not like just each individual human player goes and then the villain goes. You're breaking up the things. You're breaking up the order of which, you know, how you planned it in your head. Like, okay, you know, Jared went before me. I kind of needed to go before him. And so, I think those are all good. I think those are good aspects of the game as far as gameplay, but it just does add to length because you're missing a couple details.
For sure. Yeah, I would highly recommend when you play this game if you have three or four players, you have someone dedicated to moving the initiative deck along, and you're just, as soon as they're close to being done, like you're getting ready to flip that card to say, okay, it's your turn. And that helps just keep everybody on task, and we keep moving instead of kind of forgetting about it almost, and then everyone looking around like, whose turn is it, kind of thing. So.
Right. No, I think it's important to have, yeah, separate, you know, the jobs of the table. We had, like, sure. Everybody, some part, half the table was watching the dials, the health dials, and then,
yeah,
you know, the other side of the table is doing the other parts of that, flipping cards and, like, whatnot, so.
For sure. I'm trying to think, like, otherwise, outside of the time, like, I think the game's fine. Like, I enjoyed it for what it is. I never was like, oh, we gotta play it again. I love bringing it out. I think the Unmatched series as a whole, just based my, and I'm just basing this opinion on this game. If you like the IP, you're going to enjoy the game a whole lot more than if you just don't care that much about the IP.
Right.
Because I think if this wasn't Turtles, if it was just something basic, I would not care. I would be ready to be done way faster. So I think that has to be taken into account, that it is IP dependent. I think I've just gotten, like, I'm thinking about when Epic Duels was out, and there just wasn't a lot of other options, so it made it easier for this to be like, oh, this is a really cool game. But now I've got so many options, especially in this space, that I don't know. It doesn't really, the gameplay is good, but it doesn't hook me the way some other games do.
Right. No, I think the IP here is definitely what you, you know, what you're pushing, and it gives players an opportunity to play the Turtles. And honestly, there's just not a great, there are some board games out there relating to the Turtles, but this is really the best one I've played. So I didn't think that's a success there. I think everybody's given their unique decks, and I think they're well constructed. We had some issues early on with trying to figure out how they played, but I think overall, I think each one's evenly created and has its own, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think overall here, you're looking at a solid overall game that gives you a lot in the box. You know, you're getting a lot here, in my opinion. You might wear out the cooperative side early on.
Not early on. Like, I think,
you have two villains. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I think they did really, a lot of co-ops do this, right? They do a good job of giving you enough minions to really change things up.
Yeah.
But I would love one or two more bosses, honestly. But yeah, I'm with you that you will eventually wear out the co-op side.
Yeah, and there's not much to, not that I'm aware of. Now, you know, BGG has their own variants. I don't know what's out there. You never know how to make it harder. Like, there's probably plenty of things out there. When it comes to straight cooperative games, though, like, I've got others that are on higher on the list than I'd rather play. So, I don't know. But this, you know, this is a lot easier to kind of get into. So, you know, I kind of weigh that cost benefit there.
Yeah.
And so, I think overall, you're looking at a really good design. Again, it's fitting into what Unmatched does and what they want to do. And they have this Adventures series. They aren't pushing that very much. You know, they have this box and another box, so they've kind of been new to that. They've had plenty of other boxes. So I don't know if this is really their focus.
Yeah.
I think this is just getting fitting into a group that is interested in another game mode for this game. But I think, you know, their target audience is going to be that PvP, because that's what they've been doing, and they have other IPs.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I imagine their main audience is just focused on the PvP side, and it's in a very accessible PvP game.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's got lots of options as far as, if you know, whatever you're interested in, there's gonna be something, not everything, but there's a lot of choices as far as what can be your hero to start playing with. I personally, like, just as we wrap up here, I don't know, man, like, I think it's fine. I think it has its space of being an accessible, fun game, but I don't think it's like the best at what it does or anything like that. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do with that. I could take it or leave it as far as one that stays in my collection. And I don't think I'd miss it if it left. And I think I'd enjoy it if it stayed for a little while. So it's just kind of a fine game. And I will say, like, having played cooperatively, and I kind of hinted at this earlier, I have no interest in playing the PvP game. Like, I just feel like it almost feels too basic to me. And I've got to really love the IP to want to be into it anyways.
Yeah.
I've also not ever been a person that's been a huge, like, crossover person. That I think that's one of the draws is, like, you can have Spider-Man fight against
the Turtles.
The Turtles, or against The Witcher, or whatever, you know? And I'm just like, whatever, you know? So I think for me, I'm just not the target audience, which is fine.
Sure. Sure. I think, you know, one thing we haven't touched on is because you mentioned the, like, 20 different artists that are in this game. The art is fantastic.
It's so good.
Restoration Games is one of my favorite companies, not necessarily like just the games itself, but just I love the fact that they bring back games that, you know, are no longer around and they bring them back to life and they restore them. That's a whole brand. And they give it the best artwork maybe in all of gaming. You know, as far as like the authenticity of one, the Turtles here, every card felt very, very specific and very detailed to that character. And it had, you know, flavor text on it. And like, you know, the names of the cards, they think through all the details. And that's not just in this game. It's all of the Unmatched series. It's everything that Restoration does. They put the most detail into everything, especially when it comes to art. And the box art on this is superb. The cards, the minis, like there's only a couple in there, but they're really good. All the components are quality. So like, I have nothing to complain. If anything, they make takes this game to a whole other level for me, because it makes me want to play it even more. Like, yes, in the end, do I have other cooperatives that I would enjoy more? Yes. But I, the way, like, after I left each game of this, I was like, I'm still thinking. I'm like, the cards, the quality, the art, I'm still like, I'm still drawn to it. And I'm not even that like big of a Turtles fan.
Yeah.
I just, it's still something about it though. You got this deck and it play, you feel like you're playing that character in from my opinion. And, you know, we've talked about one of my favorite games is Marvel Champions. And the best thing about that game is you feel like the hero. And in this game, I do feel like I'm playing that hero. And so that's like, really does take it to a level for me. So if you really like, you know, if you're not big into cooperatives, you know, you haven't played a lot of them, this is definitely a great first step.
I think it's worth
get trying. Into some cooperative here, but then you have this ability to play PvP. And if you want like a quick little PvP game, like obviously the Turtles fighting each other wouldn't really happen thematically, but you know, neither would Spider-Man facing the Turtles either. So yeah,
Raph fought the Turtles all the time with his fights. So, you know, whatever.
No, so this gives you an opportunity to do that. So there is a lot in this box. And the base game of it, I think you can find for, I don't know, $60 or something like that.
Yeah, it's decent for what you get in the box.
For the minis that you're getting, the minis are quality. Minis are not cheap. So.
Yep.
I think it has, it's a sustainable boxed game. And it's self-sustaining and... You know, if you want to add to it with other Unmatched, I think there's opportunity. There is opportunity there. You know, if you get worn out with the cooperative, though, you know, it's going to be hard to find a solution to that.
Other than just beating each other up.
At that point. So, you know, maybe some play people come up with some really cool variants or, you know, other missions that you can do. So regardless, I think that's what this game is and that's what it does really well. And one of my favorite things, which, you know, I didn't even say during the favorite part of this is the art, and I'm saving it for now because that really does take it from, for me, just this cooperative experience that's kind of okay to this experience is that I do feel like the character because of the deck itself and then the art wrapped around it. So I think it's a solid game for sure.
I think that's a fair assessment, and I would agree. The art on those cards is everything for this game. It really elevates the whole thing. And the way the cards play, like you said, you want cards and gameplay to match what you're doing. And each turtle feels like that turtle. And that's cool. So, anyways. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening and watching and doing all the things. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on this game, we would love to hear from you. All the ways to do that are in the description below or are in the episode description if you are listening on the podcast version of this. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, liking, subscribing on YouTube, following us on Instagram and other socials, all the many things that we do in 2026 to be able to promote people that we like would be greatly appreciated and greatly helpful as we grow this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for our logo, and to Anna Snyder for the outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
As a wise turtle once said, it's pizza time!
Cowabunga, dudes! Incredible.